here, instrumentalists, that fine number. Appreciate the music for today. It's a blessing. Turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let's bow our heads now and ask His blessing upon tonight, the message that I'm going to try to preach. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful day you've given us here at the church, the good word of God that was taught in Sunday school this morning. Thank you for the good crowd you brought on our buses and to Sunday school and the morning service and a good crowd that's come back for the evening service. And Lord, thank you for the sense of your presence. You met with your people this morning, and we rejoice that God still meets and still blesses His people. And we, Lord, help us to live in such a way that we won't hinder the working and the blessing and the presence of the Lord around this church in our own lives. Lord, help me now as I preach tonight. Give me power and help me to exalt Jesus, and may Christians be built up in the faith. May those who are wandering, Lord, be challenged to come back and yield completely to Christ. Somebody here not saved, but Lord, there's some need to make eternal decisions tonight. Getting right with Thee, getting in the will of God, getting back close to Thee, or getting saved, or surrendering to the call of God, or joining the church, whatever it is, Lord, have your way in this service tonight. Lead us by your Spirit. Now touch me as I preach and anoint me, defeat the devil. Lord, many of our people have special needs. You know all about them. God, be real. May they look to Thee and you meet their needs that lie ahead in the next few days. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My daddy is in heaven tonight, and was a good man, saved. And my daddy kept fox dogs around the house when I was a boy. All the time I was at home, about 18 years I was at home. I mean, he had four or five or six, seven or eight old lazy flop-eared fox dogs around the house at all times. Now, in the summer, my mother, my daddy let them run loose all the time, and they'd come get on the front porch and in the summer where they would lay down there and leave a little greasy spot. And when they'd get up and walk off, the flies would just swarm there. My mother used to get her, and they'd start laying down after she'd come out and mop the front porch off. They'd come in later, and she'd get the broom and start flailing fox dogs. I'm telling you. And she'd put them on the run. She'd get sort of upset at all those dogs. Sometimes she'd say, "Mart, why don't you get us a hog instead of all those old dogs around here all the time?" She'd get frustrated. Daddy'd smile and say, "Pearl, a dog can't run a fox. I mean, a hog can't run a fox. Shut up. You know what I'm talking about. A hog can't run a fox." And he'd get a big charge out of that. But Daddy'd go, "You like to see me make a mistake, don't you? He would just get a charge out of it. I'm glad you enjoy it. Hope I don't give you too much enjoyment, though." But Daddy used to go hunting, fox hunting, out on the, there was a mountain about a half mile away from my home down there, the Appalachian, one of the chains, Walden Ridge, they called it. And he'd go out on those mountains just about every Friday night. And I'd go with him when I got old enough to go, when I was around 10 or 12, or a little bit maybe, or about 12 or 13, somewhere along. I'd start going with him. And then in high school, when there's no football game on Friday night, I'd go with him out on the mountain. And we never had a car in my family, so we walked everywhere we went. And we'd walk sometimes 10, 15 miles more a night, up the mountain, out on the mountain. And if the dogs would go across a big ridge and over to the other side, we'd walk maybe a mile or so and get on top of that ridge where we could hear them. They'd go back over here, and we'd go over here. They'd go down what we call the gulf, board camp guff. We'd walk over to a bluff where they'd be running down below and listen to it. We just walked all night. And many times on some of the men went fox hunting over in the river, what we call the river, on the ridges. They'd go over, the gray foxes were up in the mountains, and red foxes over in the river. I used to like to go over there some, because at midnight they'd pull out skillets and coffee pots, and they'd start frying spam and eggs and potatoes. And they'd have bottles of, not moonshine now, jars of, they might have had some of that, I just don't remember it. My daddy wouldn't go if they were drunks. My daddy wouldn't go hunting with them, though. And they'd have jars of pickled pig's feet. They'd have cakes. That's good. I mean, especially out at midnight, way out in the woods, if anything tastes good out then. And hot coffee. Why is hot coffee so good out in the woods like that when you make it and boil it right out of the pot there? But I remember those things. But one thing about my daddy, if he'd go on Saturday night, Daddy would come home. I kept notice. He wore a watch, big round watch, down in the pocket right there. And he'd keep pulling it out. And about midnight, when it'd get midnight on the dot, my dad would leave those dogs, leave everybody, and he'd start back home. He would not hunt past midnight on the Lord's day. And he would never let me play ball or fish or hunt or swim on the Lord's day. And I have this conviction. I know it's not a popular conviction today, but I still think when we get to heaven, you're going to find out it's right, that we ought to keep the Lord's day holy. I played a lot of ball, but never have played one game on Sunday. And I believe if a person ever gets full of the Holy Ghost and on fire for God, doing the will of God, they'll keep the Lord's day holy. I'm convinced in my soul. I think one of the darling sins of America is that we have made a holiday out of the Lord's day. It ought to be a holy day, not a holiday. And because my dad, I've grown up with two things that come to my mind that's instilled within my soul. One thing I remember about my dad, he was a good man, saved, he's in heaven. My dad, first of all, my dad would tell the truth. He would tell the truth. If a hole opened up and swallowed him, my dad would tell the truth. And he would fight you. He wasn't a big man. He's a strong man. And he'd walk under my arms almost, about 5'5" or 6" and about 175. And real strong from mining coal all of his life. But he'd fight you before he'd lie to you. And listen, that's one quality we ought to teach our children. Parents, tell the truth. Young people, if a hole opens up and swallows you, tell the truth. You're always better off to tell the truth and pay the consequences in. And if you'll tell the truth, they'll respect you for it. If you lie, nobody respects you. You're never more like the devil than when you tell a lie, because he's a father of lies. So young people, tell the truth. Tell the truth. And you'll gain respect. So I remember that about my daddy. And then another thing my dad instilled in me was a love for hound dogs. And you know what? I even doubt anybody's salvation that don't like a good hound dog. Sir, you must be a modernist or a liberal if you don't like a hound dog now. And I've been around hundreds of beagle dogs and foxhounds, and I know what it takes to make a good... I'm going to get my message in a minute, but you listen, you need to know the deeper truths tonight. You need to go deep in the Word of God here tonight now. But I have owned and been around many good ones and many bad ones. Probably more bad ones than sorry ones than good ones. But the good hound dogs that I have been around, you know what? The good ones have some traits that we need as God's people. And then the sorry ones have traits, brother, that we ought to avoid as God's people. Now, I'm not trying to be cute tonight. And I'm not trying to, you know, I don't try to preach... Bring up a topic just to tickle your ears. I'm going to listen. You'll find out tonight when I get through preaching that there's some things here that you need to hear. And old Dr. Bob Schuller, he's with the Lord now. He had a sermon out, and then I think he made it a title of a book. I never heard the sermon, never read it, but he had a title of a sermon and a booklet called Some Dogs I Have Known. And I want to use his title tonight, Some Dogs I Have Known. And one of the first dogs I remember back as a boy was old Screaker. His name was Screaker. And I guess Dad owned her when I was about 11, 12, 13 year old. And she was the best dog Daddy ever owned. One word about her I can think when I think of her, she was outstanding and one of the best dogs ever been in East Tennessee. She's well-built, good-looking dog, good personality, good mouth. That means when she barks, she has a beautiful bark, good mouth. A good, pleasant-sounding, carries well, resonant bark, good mouth. That's music. Yeah, I know that some of you say, I've heard that, those old hounds, and I couldn't hear that music for those hounds. And that hurts me deeply, hear you talk like that. That insults me. That don't talk around me about your pastor like that. But anyway, old Screaker was fast, she was smart, she had endurance, all the things that you look for in a dog. There's very few men ever have a dog as good as she was. And she was the best dog Daddy ever had. A dog in a lifetime. But most dogs, my father, owned were just average dogs. He'd get rid of, he wouldn't feed a dog that was sorry. Or maybe some of them were a little above average. But you know, it's the same way in the Christian life. Most of us can't be D.L. Moody's. We can't be Billy Sunday's. We can't be Bob Jones Sr.'s. We can't be Lee Robertson's or one of the greats. But you know what? The Lord can use every one of us. The Lord can use every one of us if we will but permit Him to use us. There's something for every born-again child of God to do. God has a plan for you. God can use you. You may not be one of the great stars and heroes of the faith, but God can bless you and use you with the talents and the personalities that you have. I don't care who you are. The secret is to yield everything you have to Jesus Christ. And then listen, when we yield everything we have to Him, then there are qualities down deep in your soul that when you yield everything you have to the Lord can bless those few talents or many that you may have. There are latent talents down in every person, I believe, that if they're yielded to the Holy Spirit, that God can bless and use every child of God. And the secret is to be yielded to the Lord. And the Lord can bless every person here tonight. Every born-again child of God can be used and blessed of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Lord doesn't need your money. The Lord doesn't need your talent. He doesn't need that. What He wants is you as you are to surrender to Him. Then if He'll get your will surrendered, just surrender it over to Him, then He can bless you. And once you yield, you'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. When I think about this, Brother Frank, never forget what that preacher in Kingsport told you one time. He heard about how our church was growing, God is blessing, and he thought that, I've told you this before, but it fits right here, I'll tell it to you again. And before he met me, he told Brother Frank, He visualized the pastor of this church, growing church, would be a tall, dark, and handsome pastor. Boy, he was far off the beaten path. His thinking was certainly wrong, wasn't it? And then he met me. After he met me, he said, "Well, Brother Frank, something like that." He said, "Well, he's just a normal, average guy." And he was, I guess, let down after he met me that God could use somebody like me. But I thank God I'm just an average person. But one thing about it, an average person can turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and be used of the Lord. And I have turned my life over to the Lord. I want the Lord to use me. And thank God He has used me a little bit. His power can make you what you ought to be. His love can fill your soul. You would see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Listen, some of you tonight, you may be on the verge. You think God wants you to do something. You think, well, I can do more with my life than if I would surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God, it's best for you, whatever it is. Some of you are afraid, well, the Lord might call me to the mission field. Or worse yet, the Lord might call me to Bob Jones University if I'd surrender to Him. Listen, anything the Lord would lead you to do, anything that's God's will and God's way for your life is best for you. Never fear, never be afraid of the will of God for your life. God can use every one of us. Then, let me mention another dog that I've known all a few years ago. I don't know how long ago, 6 or 8, 9 years ago. I had a dog name. Now, any dog's name tonight is purely coincidence. It's not planned, I'll assure you. And I would probably have some Bettys here tonight. But this dog was name that comes to my mind is Betty. And she was a good dog. And one of her main qualities was she was dependable. You could count on old Betty. When I'd turn her loose, instead of just playing around, smelling around, she'd just take right on off and start trying to jump a rabbit. And she'd be gone, and she'd keep on. The other dogs come back and get discouraged. She'd stay out there and go all over the mountains, all over the hills and the woods, until sooner or later she was going to jump a rabbit for you. You could count on her. And then she'd run a good trail. She wouldn't quit. She'd run all night, be running daylight the next morning. And when she barked, you could know there was a rabbit there. She was faithful, and she was a dependable dog. You know, we need Christians just like that at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. People you can count on. People who are dependable and people who are faithful. Those that'll stay by the stuff. That's the kind of people we need at Buffalo Ridge. And every church needs that kind of Christian and that kind of member. As 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found what? Successful? Successful? Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found intelligent. He'd leave a lot of us out, wouldn't he? Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found talented. No. That'd leave most of us out. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And hey, listen. Everyone sitting here tonight, if you're saved, you can be a faithful Christian, and that's all that's required of you. That's all that's required of me. I'm not required to be a Jack Hiles or a Lee Robinson or a Bob. All I'm required is when I come up this pulpit to put my soul into it and be a faithful preacher. That's all, boy, that's all God's going to require of you in the future. When you get out to serve the Lord, just be faithful. And God can use us if we're just faithful. God can use everyone if we're just faithful. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says the greatest ability, said, and it's, this is one of his greatest statements, the greatest ability is dependability. Then let me mention, give you another dog I have known. A few years ago, I guess 7, 8, 10 years ago, something like that, I had a dog whose name was Rowdy. And it fit Rowdy. His name fit him. And he was a, one thing I remember about him is he was a great disappointment. He was a registered dog, beautiful, strong, fast, good mouth, smart, fast, all that. And he didn't run till he was about 11 or 12 months old. Wouldn't run a lick. Then all of a sudden one night, first night he went, is Joe Moser here? Joe, are you here? Joe was there that night. And first night, we went 3 or 4 miles over the west here. And he ran, the first night ever, he ran 6 hours hard. And all of my dogs quit. All of Joe's quit but one. And so we had two dogs, one of mine, an old Rowdy, a pup. The first time he run hard, they run two foxes. And Joe had to carry one white dog. He just laid down the field. He runs hard. And had to carry him. I remember carrying him back to the truck. And this dog had all the equipment to be a great dog. But he never did any good after that one night. Yeah, I mean, he showed qualities of greatness that night. But after that, I'd take him out, and he'd run a little while and quit. And finally, I just gave him away. Last time I saw Rowdy, we were over a year running, a bunch of us were, had 10 or 12, 15 dogs, and word was Rowdy, He was under the truck laying down all night. And they run those crazy rabbits almost over the top of him, and he'd just look up and then put his head back down. And he was just a big disappointment. One great showing, and then he just no more. You know, a lot of professing Christians are like that. You know, they're like a flash in the pan. They make a big showing, and boy, they make a big profession, and everybody rejoices, and then in a few weeks, they drop out. And in 6 months, the FBI and the Holy Ghost couldn't find most of them. You know people like that. I remember one time, there's a man, a drunkard, came over there looking at me and up when we met over the old chapel over there. And the custodian I had at that time, Brother Shepherd, Miss Shepherd, we got down at the altar and prayed with him. And boy, he said, "I'm never going to touch whiskey again." And he came forward that next Sunday and made a big profession. And we all rejoiced. And the character was drunk the next Saturday and been drunk ever since. And you've known many people like that. Now, what happens when people make a big profession and then just sort of drop off and out of sight, never hear any more about it? What happens? Well, it's hard to say. Maybe it's like Demas. Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Maybe the struggle of draw of the power of the world is just too much for him. Maybe they're like soils in the parable of the sword, Luke 8. The seed fell by the wayside, and the devil reached in and snatched the word of God out of their hearts. Maybe the devil comes in and snatches the word out of their hearts. Maybe their heart is like a rock. And the trouble comes and they fall away. They get discouraged and fall by the wayside. I don't know. Maybe their heart's like thorns when the word of God falls in among thorns and cares and riches and pleasures of life. Just chokes the word of God out. And brother, the world will choke you to death spiritually. Maybe they're never genuinely saved, never genuinely born again. I don't know. When people fall by the wayside, get their name on the church roll, then 20, 30, 40 years, they die, and they say they were a member down at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or some other church, and something's wrong. Something's drastic. I don't preach people into heaven like that either now. I don't preach people into heaven just name on our church roll and been baptized if they have not had a life to back it up. I don't preach them into heaven. So I urge you tonight, don't be a spiritual casualty. Don't come in here for a little while and make a big splash and make a big profession and then be a spiritual dropout, a spiritual flash in the pan, a spiritual castaway. God, why don't you determine tonight, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to be a spiritual dropout. Then, I remember when I was a boy, there were a lot of mad dogs. Every summer, there'd be a lot of mad dogs. How many of you remember when there used to be mad dogs running around? I'm telling you, you don't see many of those anymore, but I'll tell you, in the summer, it used to scare me. Here would come a mad dog down the road and slobbering at the mouth and staggering all over the road and about ready to drop and biting everywhere, biting the fence post, biting dogs, biting people, biting everything it can, biting just everything, cows, dogs, anything it can bite. And that used to really scare me. Boy, I'll tell you, it was terrifying. I remember one time, boy, my first cousin took a hammer, the mad dog out in our backyard, out in the field, behind our garden there, and he took a hammer out and got right down and beat that mad dog to death. And I went in the house when that mad dog got around. And that always impressed me. He'd go in, he was brave enough to go in and do that. Now, dogs get mad or get rabies, what we call that mad, used to, when they're bitten by another animal who has the disease called rabies. Get it from cats, dogs, foxes, skunks, bats, things like that. Other animals who have contracted some way. And some animals are carriers. And there's some things, as Christians, we need to guard against. Some things we need to guard against as believers. If we get bitten by these highly infectious spiritual diseases, it will destroy us spiritually and maybe even physically. Now listen to me now. Listen to me now. There's a message right here. There's a message you ought to hear. There's some things, listen, if you get infected with these rabid situations, they'll turn you into a spiritual mad dog. They'll destroy you. And the first thing is pornography. Pornography. Lewd books, lewd pictures, filthy magazines, filthy movies, filthy television programs, filthy videos, and other areas of pornography will wreck your testimony. And you married men and married ladies, it'll wreck your marriage. Pornography, filling your mind with that stuff will wreck your marriage. And then it'll fill you with a guilt complex. You have to think about Jimmy Swaggart. He had been on pornography, I understand, since he was a teenager. That's why he failed. And it will lead you to lewd, filthy, and even criminal acts. Bundy, the man who was just fried in the electric chair in Florida recently for all those many, many people that he murdered. As I understand, he grew up in a Christian home. But you know what started him on the road to murder and rape? Pornography. Pornography. Jimmy Swaggart allowed pornography to possess him, and it destroyed his ministry. And listen, if you are keeping lewd books and magazines and pictures around, it's going to destroy you. It'll destroy you. Listen to this preacher tonight. It'll destroy you. I remember years ago, we had a man that moved to this stole from this church, from another church in the community. Didn't stay long, and then he backslid and dropped out started running around another woman, separated from his wife. And I went to the trailer where this man was living. And I knocked on the trailer door. I was going to go over and try to talk to him, try to help him. And he was taking a shower. And I said, this is a preacher. And he said, well, just come on in and sit down and wait till I finish my shower. And I went on in and I sat down. And there on the magazine right table in front of me, the coffee table, were all kinds girly magazines. There was the reason for his downfall. There was the reason for his downfall. And it'll wreck you. And it'll wreck you and it'll destroy you. The Bible says avoid all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. Don't read filthy, sex-oriented magazines and books. Don't do it. It'll destroy you. And don't look at X-rated, R-rated, even PG-rated movies or videos. In fact, stay away from all Hollywood movies. You'd be better off. There's nothing Hollywood has that you need. It'll destroy you. And then also, you ought to stay away from these video shops. A member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, a saved person, full of the Holy Spirit, has no business going into these video shops. You ought to stay away from them. It'll destroy you spiritually. I'd hate to even look when I go by these video shops, afraid some of our members in there. I've never seen you in one, but if you've been in one, you had no business there. You say, well, I just want to enjoy myself. Won't you get the Word of God out? Read the Word of God. Do a little praying. Go talk to somebody about the Lord. Get busy for God. And another thing, too, I know some of you have a satellite dish. And I love you, whether you do or not. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter where I live, where you have one or not. I love you anyway. But if you don't have a satellite dish, don't get one. You don't need a satellite dish because it'll bring a possibility of a lot of filth to come into your home. And if you do have one, you ought to pray about where the Lord wants you to get rid of that thing or not. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You thought you were going to have a little tricky sermon tonight, didn't you? It's tricky, all right. I'm getting some principles down for your life that you need. Now, we've never had a television set in 26 years. I've been here as your pastor. Never down in our house. We've never had a television set. I want you to tell me what What have I missed that I really needed for my life? What have I missed? Huh? You know, it's helped me spiritually not to have a television set around my house. You know why? I have to almost get up early every morning. And if I've been here 26 years, and if I have a devotional life, if I get up sermons, I have to get up here early. And I couldn't get up at 4, 4:30 and try to be up here to 5 and pray and study the Word of God if I'd have stayed up watching the late, late shows, or stay up to 11, 12 o'clock watching the late news and then some late show. And also, it's not only helped me spiritually and helped my wife spiritually, but it's helped our children educationally. We got two kids through college, and if you'll pray real hard, we might get Calvin through. He's about to get through. One more trimester, about to get him through. But listen, the kids have learned to read instead of sitting there. Give me a Pepsi. Give me some, Mama, give me some popcorn. That's really intellectually challenging, isn't it? I agree with Lester Roloff. We hadn't had a revival in America since the RSV came on the scene and television came on the scene. It has warped the minds and the souls of our people. Now, you don't like it too much, do you? But it's the truth. It's the truth. Now let me mention some other things. I've just begun to preach. Now everything. Listen, everybody, listen to me now. Don't, young people, right here, young people, don't talk now. Listen. Do you need to hear this? Everybody needs to hear this. Listen to me now. Don't talk while I preach. Listen. I can't think I've got something worth saying. I'll sit down. But you need to hear this. There's some other things that'll destroy you spiritually and physically. And they're infectious and will destroy you just as certain as rabies destroys a dog when it's bitten. These things will make a mad dog out of you. Number one, or I'm just going on with some more things, drugs. The most foolish thing in the world for you to experiment around with drugs. Don't experiment with drugs, young. Keep away from the crowd that has drugs. Listen, and you girls, if you know a boy's on drugs, you stay away from him. If you don't, you're going to wreck your life. And they'll destroy you. I've told you before about a boy that I went to visit. One of our members that time, no longer a member, he told me, he said, "Preacher, I've been on pot ever since I was 8 years old." He's 18 at that time. He's older than that now. And he said, I can tell it's affecting my mind. And that boy is in jail tonight, I think. And it'll destroy you. Drugs will destroy you. Alcohol will destroy you. Beer and liquor and wine are killers. They'll kill you just like a mad dog will kill you. Beer, liquor, and wine. Young people, listen, and older people too, never take that first drink. If you're around a crowd that's drinking and a social, they want you to just drink one, listen, don't do it. It's better for you to quit your job. If you have a job where it requires work, for you to drink. Then take that first drink. Just say, "I don't drink, thank you." Just say, "I don't drink, thank you." Strong drink. And by the way, over 50% of the people killed on our highways every year is a result of drunken drivers. We're taking this special offering for Donna Lane. Why? Because a young man inebriated himself and lost control of himself and went down the wrong road. Lane in a road. Here this pretty, nice girl is going to be a cripple unless God heals her. Don't tell me. And strong drink will destroy you. Make a mad dog out of you. God's word says in Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker. Wine is going to mock you. Eventually, if you get on strong drink, beer, liquor, wine, it will mock you. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God said, "You are dumb. You are a dumb bunny. You are foolish. You are not wise if you let strong drink get a hold of you." Proverbs 23:32 says, At last, it biteth like a serpent. Strong drink, but one day it'll bite you. And it'll sting you like an adder. Don't put that bottle the first time to your mouth. Crazy if you do. Let them laugh at you. I'll guarantee you, you'll get the last laugh. You'll get the last laugh. Let me give you something else that'll destroy you. Make a mad dog out of you. Sexual immorality will destroy you. It'll destroy you. Everybody's doing it? Yeah, and they're headed for destruction if they are. But everybody's not doing it. Don't fall for that line. Young people, God made sex for marriage within the confines of the marriage vows. And you break God's laws when you have sex before marriage. And then married people, when you have sex with somebody outside of the marriage vows, it's not your husband or wife, it's a sin for God. Really, I said you break God's law when you have sex before marriage or sex with somebody else outside of marriage other than your husband or wife. But really, you don't break God's law. You try to. It breaks you. It'll break you. I read a newspaper the other day where a woman had an affair with she'd gone back to her hometown, saw an ex-sweetheart, had just an affair with, and she loved her husband back home. He was a good man. She loved him. It was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. And then later on, that man called her and said his wife had had an affair with a drug user who had AIDS and many involved in all that immorality came down with AIDS. When I played football down southern Mississippi, we played in the Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas, January 1st, 1953. And I remember one of the guards, the starting defensive guard. He was a married student, married football player. And he went over into Juarez, Mexico, right across the border from El Paso, and went out with a Mexican prostitute and caught a venereal disease and went back and took a diseased body back with him to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. That's what sexual immorality do for you. Listen, moms and dads and young people, everyone in this building tonight, sexual immorality in this day today, is foolish when there's over 30 venereal diseases you can come down with. And most of all, it'll bring the curse of God on you. Well, you thought I was going to have a little cute message tonight, didn't you? There's some great truths that God laid on my heart through my connection with hound dogs. Let me just, now, it's going to get better now. So, if you're shell-shocked a little bit, if you're visiting tonight, if you just calm down a little bit, it's going to get better and gooder now from now on out. Let me bring up some more dogs I have known right quick for you, and we'll be through. I could mention Trouble. He's a dog, registered dog. His name is Preacher Double Trouble. Man, registered, he even mean registered Preacher Double Trouble. And that's the meanest dog I've ever seen in my life. I got him down there right now. He fights every time I feed him and gets whipped every time, but he fights every time. Growls and barks. He got whipped again tonight. My big dog had him on the ground. And then he just walked away. He didn't want food with him. And you know, a lot of church members just like that. They want to fuss and fight and growl all the time. I mean, they'd act like they're 10 million miles from the grace of God in their heart. And the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Then I can mention Old Smokey. He's a good average dog. Nobody ever notices him, but he gets the job done. We need a lot of Christians like that in our churches, don't we? Then I could mention Judy. Now, no reflection to anybody here tonight. I have two Judys on the second, third, fourth row. Another Judy is in our church. So it just so happened her name was Judy, and she was a good dog, but she barked all the time. I mean, A rabbit could go down the path a month ago and she'd start barking after that thing. Now I'm not going to dwell on Judy, because it would hit all of us tonight. We do all do a lot of barking when we ought to keep our mouth shut. But let me mention one more dog I've known. And this thing has gone to the dogs tonight, hasn't it? And his name is old Sparky. I have him right now. He's down at the house in my pen. Cutest little old beagle you ever saw. Friendly. And you can't help but notice Sparky. And he's so pleasant. He's friendly to dog and man. He's friendly. He's all the time just wagging that tail when he gets around you. Just wanting to, and Sparky loves me, and he wants me to pet him all the time. When I get in the woods, you don't pet a dog out in the woods, because you wouldn't get there and hunt. If you pet him, he'll stay right with you. So I never pet him in the woods. But in the pen, I pet him a lot. And when trouble comes, old Sparky runs right to me to protect. He'd get right under my feet when trouble comes. We had up in Virginia here a while back, and two or three dogs and big old German police running on our dogs and tore one of the dogs to pieces. But when that dog started growling and running at our dogs, old Sparky ran right to me and got running to my feet. So he knew I'd take care of him. We were running a red fox down in Ford Town. And Sparky's gun shy. And some guy come out there and start right close where we were running and start skeet shooting. And Sparky, he quit, and boy, he come slunk right over and got right by my feet, almost would step on him. I couldn't get him out of the way, but he knew I was going to take care of him. And you know, he would run to his master for protection. You see the spiritual application we can make for Christians? Another great secret of the Christian life is living close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, folks, that's the secret of the Christian life. If you will live in the Word and live close to Jesus Christ, folks, that will take care of every problem you have in the Christian life. The reason we have problems is we don't take them to Jesus in prayer. We don't fellowship with Him and get His mind and get His leading and go the way the Lord wants us to go. We need to learn this lesson. When trouble comes, we need to run to Jesus for protection. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and a strength and a very present help in time of need. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Where the song says, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? There's just no one else to go to but Jesus. Now, let me say just this. And I'm through. My dad, when he'd go out in the mountains and the dogs would maybe run the fox in. My daddy had a fox horn. I just happen to have a fox horn here. The gunslingers here, you know, the preacher, I forget his name, the gunslinger. He made that for me. I don't like the mouthpiece there. It's just wood and it cuts me. But my dad had dog collars and with his name on the dog collar of every one of our dogs. And my dad had a much better, longer fox horn than this. But when the dogs would treat, my dad had blown the fox horn so much around the dogs that they'd know when my dad blew the fox horn. They'd know it was him. They'd go to him. When daddy wanted to load him up and go home, or he wanted to get him back and start getting up another fox, he'd blow that fox horn. And when he'd go, that's music, folks. You didn't know your pastor was so talented, did you? And the way he'd blow that, the dogs would know it was him. And then the dogs with my dad's name on their collar would come to my dad. The others would know. They'd know from where he blew it. It wasn't their owner, and they wouldn't come. But my dad's dogs would come. And you know, one day Jesus is going to step out in the battlements of heaven. He's going to say, Gabriel, get your foxhorn. Most beautiful instrument in the world, a foxhorn. Musical instrument in the world. Sorry about that for you all, you music majors and all. But Gabriel is going to take that horn up, and he's going to go toe, 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 like you blow a foxhorn. And then when Gabriel blows the horn, those who have the Jesus name on their collar, those that belong to the Lord, they're going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And those that have never been branded for Jesus, those that have never been born again, they when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back and shouts, they won't hear it. But those who are saved will be caught up to be with Jesus forever and forever. Are you ready if the trumpet would sound tonight? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I realize I've covered a lot of territory tonight. I started out to preach this because I thought, well, it's just a little too spectacular. But no, I knew what I was going to say before I got up here. And I just wasn't going to tell you about dogs. I was going to try to get a spiritual message over to you. And I believe God may have spoken to your heart tonight.